Wednesday afternoon. Welcome into the Fast Lane across the Virginia Talk Radio Network. Am I the only one who does this? Who will literally just, I'll talk out loud to God. And first of all, if you're not a religious person, hey, that's your choice. I'm not going to get preachy in that regard. But I am. Grew up Presbyterian Methodist. I went to United Church of Christ for a couple years. My wife's a devout Episcopalian, so that's where we worship now. And we're fortunate we've done a lot of the services that are put online. So I talk to God out loud in a lot of cases, but really it's only fine-tuned to a couple of areas. And usually it's around things over which I just have no control. And all this gets brought up because I've dealt with some internet issues earlier today, and Matthew, who does some of the news updates on our sister station, WIQO Radio, Virginia's talk station, 100.9 FM, and the WIQO app, of course, stream WIQO or stream CBS Sports Radio Lynchburg on Alexa and Google Home, depending on what you want to listen to. If you want full news coverage, that's where you go. But I bring this up because the Dow surged today. Matthew does a lot of investing and trading and stuff on his own, and he brought up the point about how when Bernie Sanders backed out of the presidential race, it may have contributed to the stock markets rising rapidly today. I don't pretend to be an investment expert in terms of exactly what the causes and factors are, other than the fact that sometimes it seems like there's extreme volatility in that particular field, when in reality, maybe it makes more sense to try to take a long game approach. At least that's my outlook financially, to each his or her own, whatever you prefer. Although I believe when you have opportunities to make quick upgrades and quick investments, you should capitalize on them and take advantage of them, but you need to be disciplined as well. I know that's jargon. I can't pretend to tell you specifically where to go. Talk to a real financial advisor if that's what you're looking for. I bring all that up because Matthew made the point, because he comes into work and that happens to be when Joe Biden is basically left as the only current candidate, although some people may say Andrew Cuomo is in that area. I couldn't tell you whether he is serious or not. You got to listen to our talk station for info on that. But Matthew was all about trading, and he brought it up because, you know, he's like, I think God has it out for me this year, which is so funny because Matthew says that. And the reality is almost everyone in this country right now can probably say that, either because they are directly impacted health-wise or a family member of theirs is directly impacted by the coronavirus outbreak, or some element of their fundamental existence has been totally thrown off because of it. So we could all, if we want to sit here and say, I think God has it out for me this year, or Satan's pulling tricks, or whatever you want to say, you can make a compelling case for it. I only throw that out there and ask that as far as, do you just openly talk to God? Because I do in a couple of areas, and it's usually areas that are short-term pain points over which I realize I have no control. Longer-term stuff, I can sit, I can pray, I can be thoughtful of it, and I try to take the long view on it. And in things where I just have control, my effort, whether it's in training and keeping myself in great physical condition, my health steps that I try to take by eating right, going to bed and getting as much sleep as I can, mental health, reading, listening to more information, documentaries, all those are things over which I believe I have not 100% control, but I can. What I invest in is a direct correlation to what I'll get out of it. The areas where I openly pray to God are areas where it just annoys me and I literally have no control over whatsoever. None. Z-E-R-O, zero control. One of them is my computer and the frustration I have with it connecting to the internet. And this is not an indictment on Shintel, because we use Shintel Internet here at our station and they've been a partner of ours in advertising. This is the fact that for whatever reason, my computer, just mine, happens to be the one where even at my house, different internet provider because we're located in the city of Lynchburg, same thing. It just goes through these patches where it just is temperamental, doesn't want to connect to the internet. I can disconnect and then open it back up to accepting Wi-Fi and it still won't connect, or it'll connect and then it'll drop. It won't drop, it will drop. And there are times where I go through this charade for like 30 minutes, and it's bad enough when it happens on the weekend and I really have no urgent place to be or urgent business to take care of. Although for me, there's always a sense of urgency because I'm always trying to maximize my time. So when I'm trying to get on, I'm trying to create a finite time in my head to do that so I can then disconnect from that, focus on the family, other tasks, other chores. So maybe that's what's driving this. But whenever this really gets bothersome, I've gotten to the point now where I will literally just say, God, I don't have time for this. And this morning was one of those. I was trying to print something. It took 30 minutes to print it because my computer just didn't want to respond to the internet. And never mind the fact that it's a 10-year-old MacBook Pro. Literally, it's 10 years old. Maybe older than that. I got to pull it over and look at it. But it's an older MacBook Pro. And my wife always mentions, well, if you just got a new one, yeah, well, there's a couple of reasons why I don't want to get a new one. First of all, they're not cheap. Second of all, have you noticed the economy's not in the most stable state? And she's aware of all this, by the way, but I'm just using this as fodder for my argument and my position. Third, when it comes to the MacBook Pro and wanting to get a new one or not, and what I'm dealing with is the fact that if I can take my discretionary income and use it elsewhere, I'd prefer to do it. And fourth, this is just some stupid quirk for me, but I like having a CD player on my computer. Because while I have different workout programs in which I participate, one of them is I'll do some stuff that's DVD'd and CD'd. And I would prefer to have access to those CDs rather than sign up for this, you know, organization that disseminates it and pay the monthly fee. Look, I already am part of different, you know, health options and health providers. But if I have the opportunity to gain access to workouts that work well for me, I'd rather pay more to have control over them and use them again and again and again. Because trust me, I know I'll get my money's worth over time. Now, if you put on those products, you'd rather have the Netflix type setup where it's a monthly subscription because you can jack the prices up and I'm beholden to whatever you as the distributor decides that the price point should be for it. So I get that there's this little, you know, war of wills here, but I've accrued a decent collection. It's part of my workout repertoire and having the CD is one thing and the access to it is the other. But the other factor is this, and I don't know if I'm the only one who falls into this, but I believe something like, and everyone, you know, the tribe of Apple, the tribe of Android, people love to talk about tribes in this area, but the reality is there's some craving or need to purchase that's built into any consumer-based tribe. I know I'm blowing the minds out and blowing the secret of people that often subscribe to, let's develop a tribe mindset. And trust me, we have our own because they're people that follow us at Fastlane, Nedlane, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Hopefully they appreciate our honesty. But when you disseminate products, at least this is my take on it for whatever it's worth, like Apple or Android or insert your other brand, you want a fault mechanism built in so that it deteriorates over a period of time and you need to pay money to the company that created it for either a new product or to upgrade a particular product. I mean, look, things that last forever used to be a staple of the American economy way back in the day. But the problem is things didn't break. So then the obsolete rate and the obsolescence took a long time to actually reach. And if I'm Apple, I want it to take a long time to reach. I want computers to become obsolete within a couple years so people spend gobs of money to buy more computers, just like they do with iPhones and iPads and Androids or whatever else you like in terms of your technology. That's what you would theoretically want. So that's my little technology rant for today. In a moment, we're actually going to jump into some sports in the top five at five. But before we do that, we also need to remind you, if you are feeling stressed out, and you know your spouse is feeling stressed out, and you're unable to get a real vacation in this year because that 401k doesn't look so good right now. Discretionary income, struggling a little bit. Your work situation, who knows where that is. What you need to do is you need to look into a membership at Poplar Grove Golf Club in Amherst. That can pay for itself multiple times over because you get special rates when you bring friends and family to golf with you at Poplar Grove Golf Club. And speaking of family, you can get individual, couples, and family membership rates and lock them in for up to 2 years. You heard that. 2 years, Poplar Grove Golf Club, located in gorgeous Amherst, Virginia. Now it's time to jump in to the top five at five.
It's time for the top five at five. Five things you need to know right now. Number one.
It's funny how the NFL operates, because they're talking about this virtual draft, and the fact that the NFL draft is going to be held in virtual draft form, where teams are going to have to be operating from their own home residences, and how you're going to get everyone on the same page and be able to submit their picks. Teams are experiencing brushback on it. John Harbaugh, Ravens coach, was one who expressed some, quote, security concerns, end quote. First off, as it relates to security concerns, what do you mean to tell me that you're a billion-dollar enterprise and you can't find a way to work through this, given how much money and access to money goes through different organizations? Yeah, I'm not buying that. I tend to believe more brushback is coming from the changes to the NFL draft by virtue of the fact that people are creatures of habit, and especially those in the coaching and scouting and management profession, and in football in particular, are often creatures of habit. So they like to go with what they know, and this is completely different than cramming 20 to 30 people in a room, which obviously doesn't promote social distancing and puts them in a spot where they could be disseminating germs and maybe being carriers of the coronavirus. So they have to think outside the box. Look, you've got a month to readjust your schedule if you're an NFL franchise. You have access to technological resources going on and figuring this out. If people can figure out ways to create Zoom video conferencing and you have IT professionals out there can find a way to monetize things, you'll get it figured out if you're a team and you care to adapt. And besides, the teams and the organizations and the franchises that are usually the most adaptive are the ones that set themselves up to differentiate themselves in a sport where so often there is a lot of steps taken to prevent that from happening. And here's the other thing. If it's the NFL and you're that worried about the NFL draft and teams needing extra time to connect with other teams for trades, or things unfold on the fly as we get closer to the draft and something falls through or a player is made available that you didn't expect, here are a couple of ideas. Let's go about this again. One of those ideas is, let's split the draft up a little bit more than what it's been. Have the first round split into a two-night extravaganza. Do the first 16 picks on a Thursday night and the next 16 picks on a Friday night. Or if you're the NFL and you want to get real creative, you could come out a week before the draft and say, hey, we're going to push this back another week because we need the extra time. Or maybe you do one weekend on a Saturday, the first 16 picks. The next weekend on a Saturday, the 17th through the 32nd pick. Then the following weekend, you do a Saturday-Sunday extravaganza, where Saturday it's rounds 2 and 3 in prime time Saturday night, and in Sunday it's rounds 4 through 7. What else are you going up against? There's not that much live content that's out there anyway. You got binge-watching shows on Netflix or HBO or Showtime or whatever you're into right now, and that's it? iRacing, maybe? Virtual NBA games? Which brings us, by the way, into another topic that we'll get to in a moment. Something that unfolded with some of this NBA esports activity, the fallacy and flaws of that. But we'll stick with the NFL as we go into
number two.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers unveiled their, and I'll call them in air quotes here, new uniforms yesterday. And then after that, the Atlanta Falcons unveiled their new uniforms. And if you want to check them out, they're up at Fastlane Ed Lane, our Twitter handle. And you can always weigh in with your thoughts on that or anything else you want us to address, including coming up soon another Victory Lane where we'll do a chunk of the segment on the air. And then we'll take it a little bit further into Facebook Live. Stay tuned for details on that. That's likely to happen tomorrow afternoon around 5:50, starting on the Fast Lane right here across the Virginia Talk Radio Network, and then continuing on our social media page. But I like the Tampa Bay uniforms, the new ones that have come out. They look like the ones that they had when they went on that Super Bowl run in the mid-2000s, before those hideous ones that tried to combine creamsicle and pewter and red, and it was just this absurd, nauseating explosion of too much colors. I'm more of a monochromatic kind of guy. These uniforms fit the bill for that. And so do the Atlanta Falcons ones, which apparently were supposed to be released next week, but then somebody leaked them already, so the Falcons went ahead and just unveiled them earlier. Look, I love the uniforms they had when Michael Vick was initially there. The red and the black jerseys and the red and black helmets with the much more symmetrical, simple Falcon. I like that, but I grew up in the 90s and I like the Jets uniforms in that time and would like to see the Eagles go back to Kelly Green and the Jets uniforms of the mid-1990s or the Giants uniforms where it was just the block letter with the underscore. So that's kind of my era when it comes to uniforms. But I at least like the Falcon uniforms. The ATL on the front as opposed to Atlanta or Falcons, I'm okay with it. It's not as bad as Los Falcons or Los ATL, which the NBA has tried to do, where it's like Los Lakers or L Heat, which they kind of crack me up. But I would like to see the NFL allow for more flexibility, as they already have to a degree with uniforms, but doing it even further rather than the, well, we can't change the helmets because of safety, even though we know the NFL has done so many other things like Thursday Night Football and extending the season, which obviously go against safety. And maybe in the era where we are looking for more creative ideas than ever before and people are more willing to explore creative ideas than they ever have been, because look, that's what this challenging time is doing, is it's prompting creativity and forcing it for some people. I don't really have a problem with that. But that being said, I like the new uniforms for both the Bucks and the Falcons, and I'll be curious to see what the Rams and Chargers have in store, which leads us into
number three.
It's amazing because HBO has Hard Knocks, which is continuing, and they've said yesterday, it was when it was announced, that Hard Knocks would be a dual team affair, featuring the Chargers and the Raiders. And here's my thing. Excuse me, the Chargers and the Rams, not Chargers and the Raiders. Raiders were last year. Chargers and Rams because they're both in LA. I can't get excited about this because, first of all, I don't think Hard Knocks is that great. It's gotten more edited year after year after year, and it seems like teams now are aware when the cameras are around, so it doesn't seem as raw as it was before. And I fear Amazon Prime's show All or Nothing is going in that direction, because I'm watching the Eagles one right now and you don't see as much behind the scenes and in meetings and how the football thing operates, which I like to see more of that than just the personality side. I like an even blend of it. But I don't think we're even going to have training camp this year when it comes to the NFL. And I'd expect an altered schedule. Who knows? I hope I'm wrong. I hope we have sports come back sooner than later. But like I've said before, I believe golf and NASCAR are the best position to come back sooner than later because of social distancing, the nature of the sport, the fact that you can have cameras set up far away from people, and you can have drones, especially at NASCAR races, that capture a lot of the action, and you can either have people on track or on site, and you can pipe in noise to make it seem more real and in person, and you can minimize the human interaction element to all of this. And certainly it all depends on, you know, where we are in terms of finding a cure and finding ways to detect and address the coronavirus and keep this thing under control, as that should be the focal point of concern. But I don't get into Hard Knocks as much as I used to. I watch it here and there, but, and I can't say I wouldn't watch Hard Knocks if it was the combination of the Chargers and the Rams. I just have a tough time believing we're actually going to see that at all this year. That's the real reason why I have a difficult time getting into the HBO dual Hard Knocks approach.
Number four.
Things that we've also noted right now when it comes to this current time, and we shift over to the NBA, by the way, for this one. They've talked about the NBA and whether they would return to action or not. And I've heard this report, this was regarding CJ McCollum, who's with the Portland Trail Blazers, that a third of the NBA players live paycheck to paycheck. And I don't know if I exactly believe that or not, and that number may be more of a guesstimate, but here's the thing. A lot of these guys come straight out of high school. Here we go, by the way, if you're one of those on the one-and-done rant. And I'm in favor of guys going from high school to the NBA. I don't even think there should be the one-and-done option. I just think you should leave whenever you want, and if you don't get drafted, you know, it sucks to be you, or maybe you have to go overseas, or you have to explore other options and avenues to build your game and build your career. And it can be done differently in basketball and in football because of the physical nature and the development from one to the other. And there are more ways to play basketball if you get out of, when you get out of high school. But a third of the players living paycheck to paycheck, think of how many players in the NBA are in their late teens or young 20s before you get to 25 and have financial advisors and people that can guide you in a particular direction. And not to mention the fact that for much of your time, you've had people that are, quote, guidance figures, end quote, or, quote, legal guardians, end quote, when in a lot of cases they're more like leeches and people that realize you have an economic potential that they'll never be able to realize on their own, and that you know, again, they may not have free lunches, but there might be brownies hidden somewhere, to use a phrase from the McMillions documentary on McDonald's, which I highly recommend. We've got one episode to go in my household. But people are looking for that in a lot of cases. And so athletes have those people hanging around them. They're in their late teens or early 20s. They don't have any real financial sense that's been put into them. If anything, they've been told how great they are, so they have a distorted perception of how the world works. I can see how, even with the thousands upon thousands of dollars that come paycheck to paycheck, that these athletes might actually be living paycheck to paycheck, because very rarely are they actually given financial coaching and financial guidance. Now we go into what we just teased a moment ago, which is
number five,
and betting in sports. Apparently, sports books out there, and these are online sports books where they were taking wagers on these games. But the NBA 2K betting controversy apparently has arisen because Kevin Durant was apparently in an esports competition with another NBA player who beat him, and all the money was going on the other player, and none of it was going to Kevin Durant. And it turns out the reason for that is that it had gotten leaked that this was already a recorded event, and that people knew about this, so they weren't betting on Kevin Durant. Here's my just general thing in general when it comes to sports betting. And look, you're dealing with somebody who's very pro-legalized sports betting, and doesn't believe that, oh my God, because we legalized it, now there's going to be more cheating that takes place. Actually, there may be less, because the books want even action on both places, because the way wagering is generally set up, if there's even action on both sides of a total, or both teams to win a game by both outcomes to unfold by a particular margin, that if you're a league, you want split action both ways if you run a book, because that's how you win. So there's a misperception about it. But when it comes to stuff, whether it's online poker, slot machines, betting on Madden games that have taken place, or simulated events, you got a problem if you're doing that. And again, this is coming from Mr. Pro Legalized Sports Betting, but you have a problem if you're betting on those events, because they are so set up to be rigged to take your money. It's not like you're betting on games where the people participating have no real stake in the matter. And with the exception maybe of college athletes, but certainly not college coaches, and certainly not professional athletes and coaches and leagues, they can't gain enough by tilting a game in one way, shape, or form, because the amount you could wager on that game is so minuscule in comparison to the amount of money that they could actually make off of their particular jobs, and that a lot of checks and balances are in place to determine whether cheating is going on and you're tilting or throwing a game in a particular direction. And not to say that it hasn't happened. David Stern got defensive. Oh, it never occurred under Tim Donaghy, even though there's evidence that this racket was actually taking place back in the day. But as it's become overboard, it's harder than ever to engage in corruption when it comes to betting on games themselves. But on online poker or slot machines or Madden simulations that you're betting two other people playing a game, you could easily throw that in a lot of cases, know what the outcome is, and there is no checks and balance that's in place. And sometimes people just forget that. Coming up on the Fast Lane, what's the financial impact going to be as college athletics continues to just, based upon the coronavirus outbreak and the uncertain future of the landscape? We'll ask that of Michael Smith, Sports Business Journal and Sports Business Daily, when he stops by the Fast Lane next. Plus, could Liberty be considered as the next Gonzaga when things return to normal? We'll ask him that question too. You're listening to the Fast Lane across the Virginia Talk Radio Network.